Sacrifice in Islam. Sacrifice in Islam. Sacrifice in Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers, welcome to an episode of Islam and sacrifice. What is the importance of sacrifice in Islam? Inshallah, we'll be hearing that. And in this episode today, we will be discussing the importance of Qurbani, why we do it, what the Ahadith state in this regard. But before that, let us mention an excellence of reciting Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned in Mukashifatul Qulub that there was a woman whose daughter had passed away, and she wanted to see her daughter in a dream. So she went to the great saint of the time, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and explained that she desired to see her daughter, and she asked for a litany or an invocation that she could read, and as a result of that, she'd be able to see her daughter in a dream. So the great Imam, he told her what to do. She followed that method, and she did get to see her daughter in a dream. But it wasn't in a state that she wanted to see her daughter, meaning her daughter was suffering. It was evident. And she was shackled in chains. She was in a lot of pain. Now, when the mother saw this, just like any other mother, upon waking, she felt grief-stricken. She was very distressed and worried. So she went back to the great Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and relayed the story. And she said that, "I saw my daughter in a dream, but not in a state that I wanted to see her. She was being punished. She was facing a lot of pain." When the Imam saw this, he was someone who well-wished. He was someone who wished well for the Muslim Ummah. He was also full of grief. It's mentioned that later on, the Imam himself had a dream, and he saw a woman, and she was happy, joyful, and she said to the Imam, "Do you recognize me?" She was in lush gardens, and the Imam said, "No, I don't recognize you." He replied and said that, "I am the same daughter of the woman who came to you asking for an invocation, a litany, so that she could see me in a dream." The Imam was astonished. He said, "But you were described totally differently, meaning your mother said that she saw you in a dream and you were in shackles, you were in pain and distress. But what I see is totally different. What brought about this transformation? How come there's this difference now?" And she describes, she explains that there was an individual who walked past the graveyard where we were buried, the Muslims were buried, and he recited Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter he conveyed the reward of that Salat to all the Muslims in the graveyard. And as a result of that Durood Sharif, that Salat being conveyed to us, the punishment was lifted from all of the Muslims' graves. Subhanallah, dear viewers, look at the power of Salat ala Nabi, Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it removes punishment in the grave. Now, just ponder here for a moment. If that is the power of Durood Sharif, that it can remove the punishment of somebody in the grave when it's conveyed to them, then imagine the reward, the blessings, the mercy that the one who recites it will attain himself. Subhanallah. Won't his life become blissful, full of peace and serenity, far and distant from calamities? Inshallah, it will. Make an intention to recite Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance to earn reward and blessings in both worlds. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, dear viewers, Qurbani Alhamdulillah is a great blessing of Allah in that He allows us and He gives us this opportunity to perform qurbani every year, to sacrifice in His way, to show our devotion to our Creator Allah Azza wa Jal. But did you know that qurbani and performing sacrifice, this is an ancient act. This is something that was done in the previous umam as well. And in fact, if you go back to the beginning, right when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam descended to the earth, you will find that qurbani also took place during those times as well. Yes. Although the method of offering qurbani and the sign of its acceptance was different in those times, the concept of qurbani and sacrifice was still present. And let me explain this to you. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, his wife was Sayyidah Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And every time they would have children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless them with two children, twins. And it was the divine decree at that time that the female in one set of twins would marry a male from the next set of twins who are born. And likewise, the boy who was born in the first set of twins, he would marry the girl who was born in the second set of twins. This was the commandment of that time. Now it so happened that Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala, the pious son of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he was supposed to marry Aklima. And Aklima was born alongside Qabil, who was his brother. And as was commanded, Sayyidina Habil was to marry Aklima. And Qabil was prohibited to do so because he was born alongside him. But Qabil, he was someone who followed his nafs, his desires, his carnal desire. And he was in love with Aklima, who was born with him. And he was adamant that I marry her. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the great Prophet of Allah, he explained numerously, he told his son, no, this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this. You can't marry her. She was born alongside you. But he was stubborn and he insisted until eventually it was said that, okay, both of you are to perform sacrifice. And how they would perform sacrifice in those days was that they would place the sacrificial thing in the middle of the open field, in the middle of the land, and a fire would strike from the heavens and it would devour and consume that qurbani if it was to be accepted. So it's mentioned that Qabil, he only offered wheat stalks or spikes, wheat spikes. And Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala, he offered a goat, a full animal. And what happened was that the fire came and it devoured and consumed the animal offered by Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala, thus showing that his qurbani has been accepted. And as a result of that, he is to marry Aklima and Qabil cannot marry her. Qabil's sacrifice was not accepted. It still remained there. And this was explained to both of them that Habil radiallahu anhu's sacrifice has been accepted. He is to marry Aklima and Qabil, you cannot do so. This enraged him. This made him very angry. And it was his lustful desire, and his desire got the better of him. And he said, no, I can't accept this. If I can't marry her, then you can't marry her too. I'm going to take your life. I'm going to fight you and kill you. And this is all documented in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this account. And Sayyidina Habil radiallahu ta'ala, subhanallah, he did not want to take part in this bloodshed. He said, look, if you are to raise your hands towards me in order to kill me, to strike me, I won't do the same. مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِينَ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. I won't extend my hand towards you in order to fight you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And he also mentioned why his sacrifice was accepted. He says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts the sacrifice of the pious, those with piety. And Qabil obviously did not accept piety. If he did, then the matter would not have reached this far. And eventually, Qabil took the life of his brother Habil. This was the first murder to take place on earth. And the scholars of Islam have said, as a result of this murder, every murder that will take place until Qiyamah, Qabil will have a share in that, because he innovated this bad practice. Now, this was an example of a qurbani taking place in the beginning of times, all the way in the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And now, in this ummah, obviously the practice of qurbani has evolved and is changed. It's not the case that a fire comes and devours that sacrificial animal. No, we perform qurbani, we eat it ourselves, we distribute it as well. But remember, performing qurbani shouldn't be just a formality. Every year when the blessed month of Zulhijjah arrives and we are constantly reminded of qurbani, it shouldn't be the case that we think to ourselves, oh, I have to take some money out now, keep it to aside for qurbani, and that's it, we forget about it. We should ponder upon the maqsad, the purpose of giving qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't benefit from the meat. The meat doesn't reach Him. The blood of the animal doesn't reach Him. What reaches Allah jalla wa ala, He Himself states in the noble Quran, in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 37. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah jalla wa ala states, and this translation from Kanzul Iman, never does their flesh nor their blood reach Allah, but your piety successfully reaches Him. What reaches Allah when you perform qurbani? Your piety. What is your intention behind that qurbani? Is it to gain acceptance from the people? Are you sacrificing an expensive animal so that people say, Subhanallah, look how generous he is. Look how he has parted with his wealth. Or are you performing qurbani for Allah Jalla wa ala? Now, truth be told, whether you buy an expensive animal or you buy a less expensive animal, people will say things. So we shouldn't do things for people. If you buy an expensive animal, people will say that, look, he's doing it to show off. He's doing it to boast. And if we buy a less expensive animal, people will say, when it came to his child's wedding, when he got his children married, he spent so much, they had a lavish wedding. But when it comes to giving qurbani, he can't buy an expensive animal. So people will talk nevertheless. As Muslims, as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our aim should be, Ya Allah, this qurbani is just for you. With sincerity, with wholeheartedness, Ya Allah, I expect reward from your noble court. I am in anticipation of reward. This should be the niyyah, the intention behind it. Inshallah, if we make this intention, then we will gain full reward, inshallah. The Quran Pak mentions the importance of qurbani. For example, in Surah Kawthar, ayah number 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions,
فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. He says to the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so offer the prayer for your Lord and perform the sacrifice.
Now, in the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we are also told of the fada'il, the virtues, the excellences of performing qurbani. Let us listen to some excellences. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, the one who performs qurbani of an animal earns the reward of one good deed for each hair of the sacrificial animal. Each hair of the sacrificed animal. Now here the scholars of Islam have said something so beautiful. They said the Arabic words, if you look at them, لِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٌ. Beneath the last letter of the word شَعْرَةٍ, hair, there are two زَيْر, كَسْرَتَيْن. And these are known as tanween in the Arabic language. Now here the tanween is for taqleel, meaning for smallness, minuteness, or it just expresses something small. So for each small hair, smallest hair of the sacrificial animal, hasanatun, and the word hasanatun, there is a good deed. If you look at the last letter of this word, it also has two pairs, dhammatain, tanween. Hey, tanween for takthir, meaning for abundance. So the meaning of the hadith is for every small hair, smallest hair of the sacrificial animal, there is a massive reward. There is abundant reward. Subhanallah. And think about it. If you had an animal before you, a goat or a lamb, would you be able to count the hair on the sheep, for example, on the goat? You wouldn't be able to. You'll be there forever and you won't be able to count. Look at this, the hadith states, for every small hair is a massive reward. Subhanallah. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is mentioned in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, the one who wholeheartedly performs qurbani of an animal for reward, for thawab, his qurbani will serve as a barrier between him and the fire of hell. Subhanallah. Think about it. Our aim in life, we want to be free from the fire of hell. We want to gain salvation from the fire of hell. And here in this hadith, we're told, give qurbani wholeheartedly. Not with this intention that, oh, I've had to part with my money has decreased, etc. No. Ya Allah, you have given me tawfiq. With your blessing, I am giving qurbani. Ya Allah, I expect a reward for qurbani. With these beautiful intentions, wholeheartedly, sincerely, if you give qurbani, what is the reward? As mentioned in this hadith sharif, this qurbani will become a barrier between that person and the fire of hell. Subhanallah. Another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging his daughter Sayyidah Fatima radiyallahu anha, he said, O Fatima, stay near your sacrificial animal because your sins will be forgiven as soon as the first drop of its blood falls down. As soon as the first drop of the blood from that sacrificial animal falls on the floor, falls down, you will be forgiven, meaning your sins will be forgiven. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the blessing of Allah. Look at the mercy of Allah that we do qurbani and our sins are forgiven. It's only benefit and it's a win-win situation for us. And another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Eid al-Adha, which we refer to as the big Eid, man performs no other good deed that is dearer to Allah Azza wa Jal than the shedding of blood, meaning of the sacrificial animal. This sacrificial animal will come with its hair, its horns, and its hooves. And the sacrifice is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal before the blood of the sacrifice animal reaches the ground. Therefore, perform the qurbani, the sacrifice, wholeheartedly. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at these opportunities. Dear viewers, time and time again, our beautiful religion of Islam tells us to perform qurbani, sacrifice in various ways. Sometimes sacrificing an animal, sometimes sacrificing our wealth, sometimes sacrificing our time. Islam encourages to sacrifice a number of times, but the benefit is only for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent from the need of anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills the need of others. He does not have any need. Subhanallah. And Allama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says something beautiful as well regarding sacrifice. He says, the qurbani, the sacrifice, will be placed a person's scale of good deeds on the day of judgment, due to which the weight of the good deeds will be heavier. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the virtues, look at the blessings, dear viewers. Why wouldn't we want them? We are Muslims, and a Muslim is eager to accumulate as many good deeds as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to perform qurbani wholeheartedly. And Sayyiduna Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala, what does he say? Subhanallah, more encouragement. He says, the sacrificial animal will serve as a ride, as a mode of conveyance, transport for the one who performed the qurbani on the day of judgment, and he will pass the bridge of Sirat on this animal easily. Subhanallah, he will get to the other side very easily while traveling on this sacrificial animal. And he says further, every limb of the sacrificial animal will become a fidya, an expiation, meaning freedom from hell for every part of the owner's body. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The rewards are endless. May Allah give us tawfiq to perform qurbani wholeheartedly with these ahadith in mind. You've heard about the excellences of qurbani. You've heard about the importance, the significance of qurbani in Islam as well through the Holy Quran. But who has to give qurbani? Remember, if a person meets certain conditions, then he has to give qurbani in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, if he does not give it, he'll be sinful. And what are the conditions? The conditions are that a Muslim who is sane, he's a resident, meaning he's not traveling, and he owns the nisab, the threshold, which is 52 and a half tola of silver. And one tola of silver is roughly 11.6 grams. As well as this, he is not in such a debt that if he were to repay his debt, he will not meet the nisab. He will not have enough wealth to meet the threshold. Alongside this, if he has business stock, if he has items which are beyond his essential items, his essential needs, and they meet the nisab, then he or she will have to give qurbani. So, now that you've heard about the criteria, the conditions, We should think, we should ponder, do we meet the conditions? If we do, don't hesitate. Every year, if you meet these conditions in the days of Nahar, the days of sacrifice, the 10th, 11th and 12th of Zulhijjah, then you must give Qurbani. And you should give it wholeheartedly. You shouldn't think, oh, I will have to part with my wealth. Think about it. People spend so much money on food from outside nowadays. This culture of eating fast food, pizzas, burgers. Or on Eid, on this very same Eid, people buy just belts to tie the trousers for £300, £400. And there they don't think twice. They're very quick to buy and they're very quick to show that they have these items. People will put them on their status, people will put them on their Facebook. Look, I've just purchased the latest belt, the latest shirt, the latest trousers, and it's cost me this many hundreds of pounds. But when it comes to Qurbani, they will look around for the cheapest. And they will think, where can I save my money? This shouldn't be the mentality, dear viewers of Madin Channel. Our mentality should be, if I have to spend more, so be it. It's going in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that investment which will help me in the hereafter, in the akhirah, inshallah. What sometimes happens is, some families, they give one qurbani, one goat on behalf of the whole family. Whereas, maybe 5, 6, 7 members of the family, as an example I'm mentioning this, it's wajib upon all of them. But they think, I've given one, it suffices for all my family. They'll be sinful for doing that. So dear viewers, work out whether qurbani is wajib every year in the days of qurbani and give it wholeheartedly, inshaAllah. Don't hesitate, invest and give wholeheartedly. Give with sincerity, inshaAllah. Now bringing the episode to a close, just a few more points, a clarification and a recommendation as well. In regards to the meat of the sacrificial animal, some people are under the impression that you cannot give it to the wealthy or you cannot keep it all yourself. Now, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma has mentioned in Fatawa Razawiyah Sharif that to divide the meat of the sacrificial animal into three parts, three portions is mustahab, is desirable. If you do it, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do it, you won't be sinful. One can either keep the entire meat to himself, or give it all to his relatives, or give it all to the poor people as well, whatever he deems best. But the mustahab, the recommended, desirable method is to divide it into three parts. Keep one part for himself, one part to his relatives, and one part to the poor Muslims. So this is a clarification in this regard. And lastly, a recommendation. What happens is, as this is known as Bakara Eid, and it's the Eid where a lot of meat is consumed. And eating meat is something that is halal, it's permissible, and we do eat it. In fact, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's mentioned that meat was one of his favorite foods to consume, to eat. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, actually mentioned the fada'il of eating meat as well, the virtues, the benefits of eating meat. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meat improves hearing. It is the leader of all foods in the world and the hereafter. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had asked Allah azza wa jal to provide me with meat every day, he azza wa jal would have provided meat for me. But as we know, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam lived a life of simplicity. Many days on end, him and his family, they went without eating. Many days on end, he and his family did not eat like we eat. They were not satiated. And this was his way of living, his simplicity. Now, although we do eat meat on the days of Eid, and this is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should eat it with good intentions as well. One thing that you should try not to do is overeat. It's very hard. Whenever you go to people's houses, you go for a da'wah, meat is placed in front of you. And every time you're tempted, your sight falls on the meat, it's kebabs or it's in the form of meat with rice, or if it's curry or samosas or whatever. And I'm just mentioning food that are specific to Asians on the subcontinent, but around the world I'm sure there's other names as well that people can think of. Arab food or different types of food consist of meat, and we should eat it. We should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, on the day of Eid you cannot fast. It's impermissible, it's a sin. Why? Because this is a diyafa, a feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a feast from Allah Jalla wa Ala to the believers. But that doesn't mean we consume so much that we miss our prayers. We can't wake up for Fajr. we have laziness in performing ibadah. This shouldn't be the case. Generally as well, throughout the year when we eat, it's not specific to Eid, we should eat moderately. We should be health conscious. We should be Muslims who are conscious about our health. Good health, inshallah, will lead to an improved living, inshallah, our way of life, our habits, our characteristics. This will hopefully develop a lot of things. But if we overeat, we'll be sluggish, lazy, and they always say too much of a good thing as well will harm you. So overconsumption of meat and not considering the fact that your body has rights over you as well, this will be detrimental. So eat meat, distribute meat to your relatives, the poor Muslims in your locality, but don't overeat. Health is wealth, health comes first. If you have good health, then inshallah you can enjoy the moments of life. In the end we say, well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to perform sacrifice for Him. Just for the sake of Allah, not for the people, not for appreciation and praise from the people. And we should do it with piety. As mentioned in the Quran, your piety reaches Allah with sincerity, with good intentions, with wholeheartedness. Inshallah, this animal will become a barrier between us and the fire of hell. Inshallah, this animal that we sacrifice, we will ride it and cross the bridge of the Sirat swiftly and gain success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon the teachings of Islam, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in performing qurbani and accept it from us as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sacrifice in Islam. Sacrifice in Islam. Sacrifice in Islam.